It is good to be together. It's good to see each one. You know, I need to mention as we begin that when I sit down to prepare a lesson, I have certain directions that I have in my mind that I want to go. Always, I'm going to go to the Bible to see what I can gather about that subject, whatever it is that I intend to teach. Often, as I spend time in that subject, I am faced with many challenges as I gather together the things that the Bible has to say. And I dare say that quite often in my study, directions can change and ideas can change. And so as I put these things together, sometimes they take a different shape than I had intended. And I think this is quite common. And then a plight of a preacher is that there's the lesson you plan, the lesson you prepare, and then there's the lesson you deliver. Did you get your message across? And so I know in Bible class this morning, we spent some time and I was talking to you about, okay, does it make sense? Am I teaching in such a way that is understandable? And am I getting the message across? And so that's always a very important thing because the Word of God must connect within our heart. And so I have to worry and be concerned about presentation, and then things can change. You know, things happen and present struggles in my life or struggles in other people's life, and it becomes apparent to me, and then the thinking process can change. And so there's a lot of emotions that go into this. And so this lesson began by simply looking at these wise men and the great gift that they had given to Jesus and to his parents. And as I looked at that, I saw so many things as I gathered the things that transpire in that chapter to see how this gift actually benefited their lives and how this was, it was a sacrifice that they had made for Jesus and his parents. And then to note the great amount of need that it actually supplied, at least seemingly as we read that account. And we'll look at that as we study through this. But then as I studied and I began to gather more scriptures and put them together, some other things came up that I thought, at this time of the year, when we come to the time of Christmas, where our minds begin to center on sharing with others some of the bounty that we've had and some of the blessings and to begin in the gift giving. And so my thoughts began to compare some of those things. And I always go back in my mind and I look at some experiences that I've had and things that I've learned throughout the years. And so I have a lot of questions. And things that I think that the Bible teaches that we should look at within this context. What is so exciting is that everything that we study within the Bible, whether it's just simply looking at that gift that these wise men had given to Jesus, or whatever it is, we need to understand that God's Word is written for us. And there's wonderful things that we can learn from that. I've been preparing a lesson on Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you know what? I've learned so much of applications and that we can apply to our life as we look at the things that she went through in her life and the struggles that she had. She did it to serve God. And I don't know if we really fathom the struggles that she went through. And in that day and age, it was a big thing. And so we'll look at that next week. But I kind of want to share with you the journey that I take as I try to prepare lessons and do it in such a way that will help each of us to come closer to God. Because coming closer to God has to do with being spiritual. And spiritual is not some mystical pie-in-the-sky thing that we don't know what it is. Spiritual is simply learning God's Word and changing our life to meet it. That is spiritual. And so we need to recognize that and understand that it is a goal that each of us needs to have in our life.
We need to set out to be more like Jesus every day. We need to set out to compare our lives with the things that we read and strive to make those applications and go forward. God is the one that created us and made this world that we live in. You know, the subject of this lesson is sharing is caring. God created sharing. God shared a woman with Adam. God shared a home for them to live and food for them to eat. And you and I get to enjoy a home to live in and food to eat and friends and blessings. And we look at the great sharing. And God created it because it is a good thing. And when we share with one another, we're showing the fact that we care about them and we're concerned. And so as we look at this, I can't help but bring my mind back to where it sometimes goes in our society. And we have become so materialistic that I'm afraid that in our society it has become easy to forget the love and the concern that is involved with sharing. And we have some kind of another idea. Now, I can't really say exactly what it might be, but, you know, I know people that at this time of year, they max their credit cards out and it takes them a year to catch up for next year. I know those families. And I see them well up into their retirement years and they still are in dire straits. And I look at these gifts and I look at the children that receive all of these expensive gifts and they play with the box. Mm-hmm. And the toy is thrown into the side. I look at receiving a gift and it's a wonderful thing. But then how many gifts do you get that you don't need? And then you feel guilty about taking them back because you think you'll slight the person that gave that gift to you. I want us to find balance. As we look through and study this thing of sharing, we have an amazing example of sharing in these wise men. But I think that we need to look at all of the admonitions that the Bible has to say and find balance as we do this. And so, as we look at this, I'm going to begin with by looking at the fact of some the very truthful fact is that sharing is caring. And it's an important thing, and it's something that is there to meet the needs of others. But as we look at that, I also want us to understand that there are some dangers and some problems within the attitude of sharing. And we've got to be on the guard for those to make sure that those things don't become an attitude or an issue with us today. And then I want to look at the last segment of this lesson, which I'll finish this afternoon, and I want to look at the joy of sharing. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I want to also look at really some things that we need to be sharing that are not monetary so much. But it's in attitudes, actions, and love. And so as we look at this, I think that when we think about sharing, we need to go back and think about God and the fact that He shared Jesus with us. You know, as you study the life that He went through and the struggles that Jesus shared, you know, I can't imagine Him leaving heaven and coming to earth. And having to live the life that He did. Jesus was born into the poorest of the families, and He wasn't anything pretty to look at, as you look at Isaiah chapter 53 and other passages. You know, He wasn't a handsome man, it seems, but He came to this earth, and He was shared with us by God because there's a sin problem. And that's what it's all about, okay? And here He is. He lived His entire life, and He never once sinned. But he died on the cross to pay for yours and mine. Now, I want you to think about that.
I want that to sink in because, you know,
in our day and age, we don't see the cruelty of the Roman world with the scourgings and the crucifixions and the people hanging from these crosses and then Nero by hanging Christians from crosses and setting them by to fire and using them for human torches. We don't really see the cruelty. We don't see the amphitheater where people were put in and the lions would go and maul them and eat them. I think we're so far removed from the cruelties of life that we don't appreciate what Jesus did for us. But John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world," that's everybody, okay, that's the people. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It's the only one. You know, I can't imagine just having one child and losing that child. I know it's happened. But it would be a grief. God did. "His only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God did not have to do that. He did it because he cared about me and you. He shared Jesus with us. He allowed him to leave heaven and come down to this earth and live in the situation that he did and have the problems that came with it. You know, when we look at this word grace, and somebody mentioned the other day, grace and mercy are have two separate meanings, and that's true. Okay? But when grace means simply bestowing a gift on somebody that is not earned, can any of us say that we've earned the gift of Jesus? We might live an amazing life and do much for God, but we're still guilty of putting on the cross because you and I sin and we need Jesus. That is grace. That is God's grace extended to you and I so that we can find forgiveness and be pleasing in His sight. Now think about that for just a minute. He made that sacrifice so we could be pleasing to Him after we spit in His face. Oh, guys, I think we need to recognize the great gift that we've been blessed with. And that great gift needs to sink down into our hearts and our minds, and it needs to create in us a changed life where God and His kingdom and His righteousness is the priority in our life. Because that is why Jesus died, so we could be forgiven. But also, the aspect of our side of that is we live for Him. And if we're not living for Him, we're spitting in His face. And we're saying, "That sacrifice, God, that sharing that you did for us, I'm going to throw it in the trash." You ever thrown any gifts in the trash? You get those that you really don't want? That's a good thought. Let's not do that with Jesus. Let's keep Him at the forefront of our mind. And let's direct the steps that we go every day with that. You know, we just got to notice the sacrifice in His giving. How many of you are going to give your child for somebody that's hurt you? I can't imagine that, can you? I just can't. I dare say that as much love as there is in this room, and I know you love. You won't give your child. You see that sacrifice? I think we need to recognize what sacrifice is all about. And so, guys, we need to understand that God shared Jesus with you and I. We need to take that seriously. Also, as we look at this thing of sharing, guys, sharing is really something very important that helps to meet the needs of others. And I want to go back to Acts chapter 2 and look at the early church because this is an example of sharing. And so in the early church, it was struggling to grow and there was many things they were being revealed to them to help them to know what was right and what they should be doing. And I want us to notice here in Acts chapter 2,
verses 44 and 45. It says, "And all that were believed were together and had all things common." Now, in essence, they were kind of having a communal society in a way. Okay. In other words, if somebody had a need, they would take care, or an extra, they would take care of somebody else that had a need. Notice verse 45. It says, "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." And so we see within this a sharing concept. And we see also the love that we had, because you can see in their attitudes and the things that they did that they cared about one another. And they wanted to share those things. But I want us to note something here. As every man had need. And now I want to go back to Matthew chapter 2. You know, as I look at this account, you know, they're studying this has to me kind of brought this to light in my mind. And so in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, we see these wise men giving these gifts to Jesus and his parents. Now let's read. I want to begin in verse 11 and get the whole thing. It says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Now watch this. Watch what happened. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." I want you to notice the sharing. And I wanted you to notice the situation. Now, we don't know how long this was, but here Jesus and his family have gone from the manger to a house. A lot of times we speculate that Jesus could have been about 2 years of age at this point. It's all speculation. We don't know. But they had made that transition. And so these wise men, they had seen this star in the east. Incidentally, we don't know anything about that. We know it was God. We know that God was in communication with them through the angel, because they were told by the angel to go home a different way. And that's kind of interesting. Because they were communicating with God at this particular time. They didn't have the New Testament. They came from the east. Well, that could be 50 miles east. It could be India. It could be China, what we know today. We don't know how far they came. But they came. They followed a star. It's amazing. Somehow they knew to follow that star. I suppose the angel of God. I'm speculating. But God was the one that brought the star, right? It seems to have disappeared for a period of time. So that God's prophecy would come about like he said. The prophet prophesies of Rachel weeping for her children, talking about when Herod comes in and kills all of the children 2 years old and under. Can't imagine. Can you imagine the great grief? Some might want to blame that on Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus, it was Satan.
He was an ungodly leader that didn't want any competition. And Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the King. And he represented opposition. But look at the gifts. Three things, all of which had great value. But you notice it seems like almost maybe that very night when these wise men take off a different direction, the angel comes and says, get out of town. Head to Egypt. Because they're going to seek him to kill him. Have you ever thought about Joseph and Mary in that period of time where they're fleeing for their life? They're fleeing for the child's life. They get up in the middle of the night, or at least as early as they could the next day, and they take off. How much can you take with you? They have been blessed with three precious possessions. They are fleeing for their life to a place that they do not know, to live for an undetermined amount of time. Do you know what gold would do? Gives you money for food and clothing and shelter, doesn't it? Frankincense was one of those things that it was highly sought after, and there was a great trade that until later on was dried up. It was highly sought after and valuable. It was used for incense and who knows what all. In my studies, I wasn't able to figure that out. Myrrh was also a highly sought after substance that was derived from a plant. But you know what? It had a lot of medicinal qualities. And so here we have, and we can speculate about some of this, but no doubt that some of these things could have been the gold be used as money, because that's what it was used for at this particular time. We don't even know what gold is anymore. We got these worthless dollar bills, but that's another story. But the thing is, they could use that gold for money to live on for who knows how long. I guarantee you, since God sent them, it was long enough. You ever think about that? It's God sharing. God shared with them. We got frankincense, could be used as gold or for whatever, or for as money or to trade or for other things. We've got the myrrh that can be used for medicinal. And go back and read the medicinal qualities of myrrh. Kind of interesting. But here we have these three. Didn't say three. There was three gifts. Doesn't say three men. But we have these wise men sharing with Jesus, which took care of needs and provided for them an opportunity. You know what I learned from that? I think we need to share. But when we get into the negative aspect of this lesson, there's some admonitions about sharing. And so we'll look at them when we get there. But I think sharing is a wonderful thing. And so Jesus' parents had this ability to flee for Jesus' life because of sharing, a necessity. We go to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we see the Philippian church, they were sharing with Paul so that he could preach the gospel. Paul was traveling from city to city, and he was planting the church in the cities that he would go to. And so it seems that at a particular time in his ministry that nobody was helping him to do this except the Philippian brethren, but they were continually sending to him and sharing with him so that he could do this great work of preaching the gospel. And begin with, we're going to read verses 15 through 19. It says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
You know, I'd kind of like to pick that apart and look at some of those details, but look at the richness of that passage. Look at the well-pleasing sacrifice to God. Look at the sharing that they gave so that good things can be done. Look at the fact that the Apostle Paul said, you know, I'm not wanting the gift, but I do want something, a fruit that abounds to your account. So that tells us that when we share in a proper way, we're doing things that abound to our account from God's perspective. That's sharing. You think these men were not blessed because of their gift to Jesus? Same way that you and I are blessed by proper sharing today. And it's something that we need to do, and we need to keep it in perspective. You know, notice that acceptable sacrifice in verse 18. We read that passage in Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 through 23 this morning, and they were sacrificing to God, but it wasn't acceptable. That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Guys, I think it's so important that we recognize that God is putting sharing in a perspective that it's a sacrifice. And when done for the right reasons, it's an acceptable sacrifice that abounds to our account from God's perspective, not man's perspective. It's not a matter of them. They were given so that they would be seen by you and I today. So, wow, they're amazing. But so that the gospel could be preached. Always the attitude behind the sharing, I think, is so very important. Guys, it is so amazing to see the things that God talks to us about sharing. I love to share. I dare say that when I share with somebody else, I get a whole lot more good than they do. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about when he said we're here to serve and he came as a servant and we need to be like him? Isn't that what he tells us as we look at the attitude of a servant? Because as a servant is one that does something for somebody else and doesn't get paid for it, really. We just do our duty because it's our duty to do. It's what we do. And so when we share, guys, we get the greatest benefit than anybody else. I want us to think about it. We're going to come back this afternoon and we're going to look at some of the negative aspects of sharing, some admonitions that God gives us to watch out for. But then we're going to continue to look at the joys of sharing. Guys, we are so blessed with opportunities. We're so blessed with examples from the pages of God's Word. Because the things that God has given us gives directions to walk. It gives us how to do and what to do. And I'm so glad that God has shared Jesus and His Word with you and me. Because I have learned that when we follow the Bible, it blesses our life immensely. And it gives us a lot of peace in the midst of the turmoil around us. But we got to follow it. We can't just choose to do it our way and ignore what God has to say. Jesus came to this earth, a shared gift from God. He grew up in a difficult situation. As a young man, he grew and matured. As an adult, he took on the responsibility of living for God. He taught. He did good. And then he died. He died the death of the cross. If that don't move you, you've got a hard heart. If that doesn't touch you and cause you to want to do what he says, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. He offers the gift of salvation.
by obedience to what he says to do. We see what he says in the New Testament. He says that we must read and study the word to gain faith. In Romans 10:17, we learn that if you don't have faith, you can't please him. It's impossible. In Hebrews 11:6. We learn that if you don't change what you're doing that's wrong, you're going to perish. That's pretty scary. Pretty scary. In Luke 13:3, we learn that we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans 10:9, if he's the Son of God, he's got the right to tell you what to do. You know, I look at that confession and I'm thinking, wow. You know, when I let others know that I believe he's the Son of God, I'm telling you that he's got the right to tell me what to do. And then if I'm not doing it, I'm going to have to hang my head in shame because I told you a lie. Because if I believe it, I'm going to do it. He tells me that we must be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. So that we can rise to walk in newness of life. In Romans 6:3-4. And then he tells me I better live for him and follow what he says the rest of my life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. In Revelation 2:10. We see Jesus in the manger. We see the wise men sharing gifts. But we need to see the Christ that died on the cross and what he expects. It's all important. And there's lessons in every aspect of it. Are you right with God? Are you putting him first? Have you obeyed the gospel plan that he has given in the New Testament? Are you living for him every day? Guys, if you're not, you need to change. You need to repent. And you need to do what he says. And you shouldn't put it off till tomorrow. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and sing.